Okay. After the second speaker, we'll have open sharing and questions for 35 minutes. If you'd like to share or have a question or comment for one of our speakers, unmute your phone by pressing star 6. Tell us your name and, if you like, where you're from. This call is being recorded, but we'll only record the speaker portions of the call. Open sharing and Q&A will not be recorded. After the sharing, we'll have our closing readings and end with a serenity prayer. Let's get started. I've asked committee member Dayton and trustee of the General Service Board to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Dayton, a recovering buyer shopper. The 12 steps of DA.
I did.
Service begins with the 12 steps, culminating with step 12, which urges us to carry this message to compulsive debtors. These principles of recovery, particularly step 12, provide the foundation for service, since it's impossible to give away what we do not have. One, we admitted we were powerless over debt, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive debtors and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Dayton. Now, Chris, a DA member from the International Caucus, will read the tradition of the month.
Hi, thank you. My name is Chris, and I am a compulsive debtor recovering in this program. Since it's the month of June, I'm going to read Tradition 6. A DA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the DA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And I pass.
Thank you, Chris. She will also be our timekeeper today. Each speaker can start by letting Chris know how they'd like their time broken down. And I have a question for the other Chris who is hosting this call. Are you putting everyone on mute so that Chris and I have to unmute?
Okay, thanks so much. I was going to do that now. I probably should have done it sooner. I'll do that now, and then whoever's going to be, or Stuart will, or Leafy, as he comes in, will have to press star 6 to start speaking. So will you, Tracy. So if you give me a moment, I will do that now. I will.
And
mute
so everybody. Will you, Chris, the other Chris, the timekeeper.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, I'll do that now. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, now Leafy can press star 6 and the rest who need to have a voice.
Okay, yes. So our first speaker is Leafy from Paris, France.
Hi, my name's Leafy, and I'm a recovering debtor and recovering compulsive under-earner and business debtor. Thank you very much for inviting me. I hope you can hear okay. For Chris, could you tell me at 15 minutes? Let me know when 15 minutes are up. I hope I don't know if I can talk for 25 minutes. I was planning 20. We'll see what happens.
Okay. For however long, it's great. Thank you, Leafy.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so the first thing I need to say is I am bicultural. If you think my accent isn't French, it's not. I was born in the United States, grew up mostly there, although some in Europe as well. And I've been living in France for a little over 25 years, and my DA story is French. It's multinational. So I'd like to sort of just talk about sort of how it was and what got me into the program. For the longest time in my professional life, I was somebody that liked to really kind of fly beneath the radar and get away with whatever I could get away with and work in the black and you know, pay as little taxes as possible, and I thought that was very honorable, and I worked that way for a number of years, and then I moved to France, and when I moved to France, I started my own business, and I started my own business in a country where it is known that being an entrepreneur and having your own business is not easy. It's actually not a system that's really set up very well for that. But anyways, so I set out to work as a freelance, and for the first few years things went okay, and then I just had more and more trouble making my business work. I'd wake up in the middle of the night doing my accounts, and I'd listen to other people I knew who said, "Oh, well, you can't possibly make it as an independent in France, et cetera, et cetera." And I was starting to get I was starting to get kind of desperate and thinking that I was wondering if I'd be able to make it in France. And I didn't really, you know, it's kind of like when you're swimming and you're in a current, you don't really know why you're not advancing, and you're swimming harder and harder, and you're not advancing. And that was just kind of what was going on. I was working harder and harder, and I was not advancing, and I had no idea why, except that I was in another 12-step program, and the promise of fear of financial insecurity will leave us was not happening. The other promises were coming true, and fear of financial insecurity was just not leaving me at all. I literally was, you know, waking up most nights and just trying to figure out how I was going to make my accounts work for the next month, and really feeling pretty hopeless about making anything work. But I did, being in another program, hear about DA. So at first I went to DA meetings, and it took a while, and I wasn't really sort of connecting. And then I don't know who it was. Somebody in the other program said, "You really need to go to business owners DA. You need to go to where other people are living things like you." And so I went. I remember my first. It's called CEDA in France. My first meeting, and it was just like, there it was like coming home. There I really got it. I realized that as a person working in France, in the French system, I absolutely needed French DA. I needed to be among French people who were, in fact, doing recovery as business owners in France, because there are many, Paris is very rich for 12-step programs and in English, but I knew that I couldn't be among expatriates. I needed to be with people who were making it, who actually were French and business owners. And like right from my first meeting, I started to have hope. I remember, I think it was my first meeting, I met the person who became my sponsor almost immediately, and she encouraged me immediately to start doing service, which is something that I've been doing ever since, right from the start. I just got involved in whatever services were needed, really, because I recognized that it was the first real glimmer of hope I had for being able to become solvent, basically. And It was a long, hard process. This was in about year 2000. I'd been working for about five, six years already, and getting more and more sort of in the swimming against the current. In what you call in English the PRGs, in my first PRG, I was just terrified. I was sure that people were going to tell me that everything I was doing was illegal and impossible, and that I was a hopeless case. And it was really through the PRGs and working the steps that I began to realize how my thinking, how my distorted thinking was influencing the way I was seeing money and the way I was seeing my relationship with the world and being able to have a prosperous and serene life, because I really was coming from this place of, like, you know, you just had to get away with whatever you could get away with, which basically meant that I was trying to work outside of the system while I needed to work in the system to make myself be a fully contributing member of the society. So I was encouraged, and it was very difficult over a long period of time to let go of low pay. I had a lot of contracts with wonderful people doing wonderful work that paid peanuts, and it was a big, big step with a lot of support from people in the program to let go of those and to trust that I could find contracts, I could try find clients that paid properly, and, you know, making a business spending plan, and all those things were just completely foreign to me. I had never really, you know, I've never sort of put any structure to things, and I also just didn't have the vision that, one, it was possible, because I would listen to people like my sponsor because I was more of a compulsive under-earner than a compulsive debtor. I did, like it says in the literature, the under-earning literature, I would take small loans from from family members, and I would pay them back, and I would take other small loans. So I wasn't a big debtor. So I didn't come into the program with big debts. I came into the program with big fears and complete unmanageability in my financial life. And it also took me quite a while to understand that, although I understood the business debtors stuff much earlier than the DA, it took me a while to realize that I was also a very active member of DA, and that I was a debtor in much more ways than just my business, and that I had a lot. My thinking is around money is skewed, and it's skewed everywhere. It's not just in my business. So that was also a place, but it took me a little while to get it. A lot of the program was, you know, really slowly. And in France, particularly in Paris, we have a really wonderful program. It's quite rich, and there's a lot of really, really good meetings, a lot of good recovery. And very quickly, I really felt that I was in the right place, and DA became really my primary program, and it remains, because it's a program for me which I have to keep working regularly. All of the concepts, hearing the tools, hearing the steps, hearing all the literature, I need to have that on a regular basis, and I really need to hear people share on a regular basis. I say that because I've also moved out of Paris to a place in the southwest by the ocean, which is a vision that I had on that DA helped me accomplish. It took 10 years, but I'm here, but I have a lot less meetings. And I go back and forth to Paris, and when I'm in Paris, I have meetings, but I don't have the same quality of in-person meetings that I used to have, and I'm really working on that, working on getting that in place. I have the good fortune of speaking English, so I can also do of more international meetings. So another thing that I want to talk about that has been really important for me in my recovery has been this, which Stuart, who's also the next speaker, may talk about, has been the European Regional Intergroup. This has been a place where I've been doing service now for a little over 3 years, and it's where I feel I really am of use as in service because I'm being bilingual and having a kind of a multicultural experience as well. It's very easy for me to find my place. I was World Service represented for France for a year, although I never made it over to a conference, and I felt that the distance was too big for me to really get involved in the way that I have been getting involved with the regional intergroup. And it's just wonderful to meet with other people who have different cultural experiences. Although we're all debtors, each culture has a different monetary system, has a different financial system, has different ways. And it's just interesting to see how we work our programs. Even though the core is the same, there are things that we talk about in French DA, in particular in French business owners DA, that you wouldn't talk about in the States because they don't exist there. I mean, the different systems and stuff like that. And so I'm really excited about this European Regional Intergroup as a place where we're really helping, I hope, spread the DA message to debtors in other countries as well that are just, fledgling, just have one or two people in the country that are actually connected right now with DA or just beginning to set up a meeting, or they're much smaller entities. And I say that because I think that as I said before, that the service piece for me is really almost the heart of my recovery, because it's because money, or my relationship to the world, which DA, it's about being supported and will the universe provide for me, which for a long time I didn't think it would. I didn't think it could. I didn't think I would be provided for. So it's really important. It's really important for me to give back. It's really important for me to share back, to be able to give back what I have received, which is not just financial in any way. I mean, my business is doing very well. I have to say no to clients, which I don't do easily. I have my visions, or many visions have realized themselves. I have financial stability that I didn't have for years and years and years. I can start to put money aside for other projects. I can put time aside for projects that are part of my vision. All of this wouldn't have been possible when I first started, because when I first started in DA, I was completely confused between what's a vision and what's a fantasy. I mean, I had a lot of fantasies, but they had no solid basis. And with the decompression, I mean, the pressure relief group meetings and plus meetings and talking about things and talking with my sponsor, my visions are really visions now, because they're anchored in some solid financial reality, and they're also shared with other people who give me feedback from a DA point of view. I have two action partners who I share with every week, and one every day, a sponsor, my pressure relief group, and then people in the meetings that have been very important for me. How am I doing on time? It's hard for me to...
We're just about at 15 minutes.
Okay, great.
Almost.
Thanks. So, I don't think I'll go to 25 unless higher power visits me with something new. I'm really thinking about what I want to share just for this particular meeting, because often when I share, I'm asked at the last minute in a meeting, an in-person meeting. It made me think of, you know, that this has been, I've been in DA for quite a few years, and quite a lot has changed in my life. It's really not at all the same. I'm not at all in the same place. That place of fear and insecurity and really not believing that the world would provide. I have so many sort of gifts and surprises and miracles and being in the program of things that come true when I'm least expecting them, or maybe I've given them up, like the vision of moving out of Paris. The spiritual part and working the steps were also really important for me. Working the steps with my sponsor, and particularly step one, where looking at my unmanageability and actually facing, because for me, I've had so many pressure relief groups where I just come out of them just like completely blown away, because people have sort of challenged my very basic beliefs of how I think things are, particularly things I can't do or I can't possibly do, or I can't possibly say no to that client, or I can't possibly work there, and all sorts of things that my limiting thinking, if I stayed on my own, I would never have been able to move beyond, I'm sure. So I thank you very much for the opportunity to share today and to share my gratitude for this program, and my gratitude also to DA in France, which is quite a rich and supportive group, and my gratitude for the regional intergroup, which is another place where I find a lot of fellowship. Fellowship is very important for me in DA, because I can't do it alone. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lisi. That was wonderful. Okay, so this is Tracy again. I'm a compulsive debtor and your moderator today. I'd like to mention now that DA members are encouraged to make contributions to carry the DA message to the still suffering debtor. You can go to debtorsanonymous.org and click on Make a Contribution for instructions, or mail a check or money order payable to DA -GSB to DA GSO, P.O. Box 920888, Needham, Mass, or Needham and then M.A. for Massachusetts in the U.S., 02492-0009. It's also on page 51 of the Debtors Anonymous Manual for Service. And also, again, as I mentioned, on debtorsanonymous.org website, where it says make a contribution. There's several ways of doing that. You can also make an extra contribution at your own DA meeting. If you cannot give, please keep coming back anyway. You are more important than your money. And there are many ways to give back in DA besides monetary contributions. We just heard some about service. Thank you so much. I'm actually going to repeat the address again. It's P.O. Box 920888. Needham is how it's spelled. Needham, Mass, M-A, 02492-0009. Okay, now I'd like to introduce our next speaker, who will have to press star 6. To unmute himself, and this is going to be Stuart from London, England.
Hi there. Thank you very much. Can I be heard okay?
Yes, you can. And just let the timekeeper know what you want. You have up to 25 minutes.
Oh, wow. Abundance of time. Okay, great. If they could flag up every 5 minutes, that would be great. So just give me a reminder every 5 minutes. That would be really good. Thank you.
All right. I can do that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Stuart.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. It's really great to be on this call. I wasn't expecting to be on this call this week. I was asked to do it this week, which is always a gift. It's always really a nice thing to be asked to do a chair, and it's an honor. I guess I kind of want to put myself in a bit of context, really, because there's people from all over the world, I guess, on this call, hopefully. I'm English. I live in London, and you know, I was born and educated here. I did live in France for a while. I lived in Paris, where I studied, and I lived for a little while. I guess in my heart, I'm a European. I'm not going to mention any words today starting with B, but they're outside issues. But you know, I guess it's a kind of contextual thing, you know, that's kind of where I'm from. And I identify as a gay man, and, you know, that's kind of who I am. So just to give a bit of background, I came into DA, I think it is now, it was 2011 when I first came into DA. I was in total chaos around money. I didn't think that there was anything I couldn't solve on my own. That was where I was at. I guess when I'm talking about I'm going to be talking about my experience in this part. So I guess, you know, E is for experience. It's also for ego. It's also for excess, because that was kind of what I was like. I liked money, to have money to spend and to get rid of it. I loved buying things, and I think, you know, I came later to realize the reason why I did that. But one of the first jobs I had was working in, we call them catteries, which is where you look after cats, or people take their cats when they're on vacation. And I was pretty young, I was probably about 13, 14, and I used to work there, and all I was obsessed with at the end of the week was how much was going to be in my tip box. I used to love getting that money, and I already knew what I was going to spend it on. It could be a record, it could be anything, but I knew what I was going to do with it. And I wanted to get every time the lady who owned the place gave me the money, I knew what was going to be in the envelope, because the envelope was always the same, but it was the tips that I was after, because often they were quite good, because people had been on holiday, they came back and they left, you know, good tips. So it was like a bounty of gold that I wanted to kind of get rid of. So I loved it. When I got to 18, I wanted to have a credit card. I wanted to have a credit card because, you know, I kind of thought that was amazing, you know, to be able to have this piece of plastic in your pocket. And this was in the early 90s. So, you know, it was amazing to have this piece of plastic and, you know, to feel it, the thing that's talked about, you know, that we talk about in the signs of compulsive debting, being part of the club. That was part of my disease, you know. I felt if I had these things, I would be part of something, you know. There was a bit of grandiosity around it, this, you know, being able to go into a shop and buy something and I could get it when I didn't have the money for it. I was spending other people's money. This all kind of eventually caught up with me in 2012. I had what I called the house of cards of credit cards, you know, the kind of house of cards where you're building it up and eventually something comes along, a breeze or a blast of wind, and the whole thing falls down. Now, that's what happened to me in 2012. I can still remember where I was sitting thinking, you know, this has all gone really wrong, because I did the thing where I take one credit card and pay it off with another. So we call it in the UK credit card tarting. So you take one and then you pay off the next one. And I was doing that for ages, and I thought I had it really sussed, but it was clear that I didn't, because I forgot to pay or couldn't pay because I was not in the best mental health at the time and not in very well-paid jobs. I couldn't pay the balance, the minimum balance, and so the interest was turned on that card, and unfortunately for me, it was the one with the most money. And so the payments went up horrendously, and I just couldn't pay them. And that was the point at which I was in DA. I'd come along, but I hadn't really surrendered. And it was at that point that I knew that I couldn't carry on because my mental health was really bad. I was anxious. I was depressed. I was panicking. The other thing that was going on at the time was that because I wasn't working consistently, I was at risk. I think in the US you call it foreclosure. In the UK we call it repossession. So that kind of means when your property is at risk of being taken back by the bank. Now the bank had spoken to me and said, if you don't repay the arrears within around 2 to 3 months, we may have to consider taking you to court in order to repossess the property. At this point, I was 12th stepped by a friend, and I was like, even at that point, I was like, what's she on about? I don't, you know, when she first took me in, I was like, what's she talking about? I don't have a problem. I just need to, you know, I just need to get some money in, and then it's all going to be fine, you know? It was all that. It was just, if I get some money in, I'll be able to pay off the cards. It'll be fine. I'm going to get a really high-paid job soon. It's all going to be brilliant. But it never was, and it never happened. But there was something about going to these meetings that was giving me clarity. It was giving me some kind of serenity and some kind of clarity, and I didn't really know what it was or how it worked because I'd never been in a 12-step program before. So when I went to the meetings, I realized that going to the meetings, I felt better afterwards. I didn't know why, but I related some of the stories that I heard in those rooms. And it was just the collectivity, as they talk about also in the steps, if you don't know what your higher power is, it could be the collective of the DA rooms. And for me at that point, I think it really was. But I knew something was shifting, and I started keeping my figures. I didn't really know what to do with them, but there was something, there was a shift in consciousness around money, and it really began to help. And so I just kept going back. It was a meeting in London, quite a well-known one, and I just kept going there and meeting people, talking to them, but I wasn't really sharing. I was just kind of listening in. But things did seem to be starting to get a bit better. The breakthrough really was when I got a job came along, and it was for 2 months. It was working at night. At the time, I was doing graphic design, and it was a night job, but it was well paid. And amazingly, this job carried on for 4 months. They just kept extending the contract. And I wasn't really doing very much. I mean, when I look back now, it wasn't the best self-care because I was working at night and sleeping during the day. But I miraculously, within about 3 months, I'd paid off all the arrears on my mortgage. And that really felt to me like a God check. Someone, my higher power, had stepped in and bought me that job. They kept a roof over my head. The mortgage arrears went away. And I still have that property now, 10 years later. 8 years later. I no longer live in it. It's rented out. But I still have it, and I have equity in the property. So I think for me, some of the important thing as well in DA is sharing about what happened and talking about numbers. For me, I really like sometimes saying out numbers, and I decided to look on my spreadsheet this evening about what I came in with, what I paid off, and what I have left. Now, these figures are in British pounds. I'm not sure what the currency exchange rate is at the moment. It's not very good these days. But I came in with £27,210 and 95 pence. And I've paid off £14,599 and 33 pence, which means that I'm currently left with £12,611.62. To some extent, I'm like, hey, that's been quite slow, but I've paid off well over half of it, and I haven't used a credit card since the 26th of February 2012, and I haven't used an overdraft since the 15th of July 2013. Thank you. It feels important to share those figures just to show that if you stick at this program, which I have done, it's one of the things I've stuck at in my life, things can and do change. I also have a prudent reserve now, and I have the beginnings of a pension fund, and I have the property which I was talking about earlier. So I think the strength that I've gained, so moving on to strength, the strength I've gained in DA really has been that things can and do change if I stick at it, because I wasn't very good at sticking at stuff before. I did find the higher power really confusing, but I'm really totally convinced and sure now that I do have a higher power who governs, sorry, looks over my life, helps me, guides me, and provides for me. The PRGs and the tools, now those have been a massive strength to me. The tools, I really do see them like a toolkit, particularly PRGs. When I had my first PRG, I showed up late because, of course, I was a time debtor. And I didn't want to go. I was scared. I was pretty well prepped, but a lot of what I heard, I was kind of scared by, you know, because it just seemed so daunting. I had all this debt and I had no idea how I was going to get rid of it. But I then found a sponsor. And I work the steps. I'm working the steps again with a new sponsor. But my first sponsor was a wonderful, wonderful lady. And she's a really good friend of mine still now. And it was great working through the steps with her. We did it the Big Book way with tables. And it was a really powerful experience for me. And they still are. They're just the most amazing things, those steps. I just, every time I read them, particularly now that we have the new 12-12-12, which we didn't have when I first came in. We used to, you know, I did it with the AA 12 steps because the DA ones had not yet been written. Another point has been about sticking at jobs. I used to really jump from job to job. I've been an under-earner. I still think I am an under-earner to quite an extent. But one of the things that's been amazing for me also has been service. My first sponsor said to me that service, I'm not sure whether she said this or somebody else said it because I've heard it around, but service is miracle grow for your recovery. Miracle grow is a kind of plant food, and so the whole concept is that if you do service, you'll really speed up your recovery and make it grow. My experience has been that service has been a huge part of my recovery because, as I said, I'm the kind of guy who'll wander off. So I started off with small service meetings, you know, at meeting level when I first went, I'd help put the chairs away. I then started doing tea. Then I became a secretary. Then I became a treasurer. So over time, different things have happened. And what I've really found is that giving back to this program, it keeps me grounded in the program. And I also get the rewards of meeting people, seeing newcomers, talking to newcomers, and watching them grow in recovery as well. I recently, 1 year ago, we had our anniversary on April the 24th. I set up a meeting with a friend, a DA friend. We set up a meeting in London, and it's gone from strength to strength. And we regularly have like 10 every morning. It's every Tuesday morning. It's at 7:30 near St. Paul's Cathedral in a small, beautiful church. And we have about 10 to 12 people every week. But it's been really great to set up a meeting and see it grow and nurture it. Leafy, the previous sharer, I know personally as a friend. We have connected on the intergroup, the European Regional Intergroup. I helped work on the European intergroup when it first started. We discussed it in London. Every year in October, we have the DA Annual Convention in London, which is a fairly big event, probably around 100 to 150 people come. It's just for one day. And we started talking there about creating a pan-European fellowship. I think it had been discussed at higher level than I was aware of, but I decided to get on board because I speak fluent French and I thought I could be of service. We started off, we've now had four European conventions, and it's just been an amazing thing. I think one of the things in Europe is that obviously we have a lot of different cultures in a relatively small geographic area. And, you know, I can get on a Eurostar from London and be in Paris, and then I have to start using euros. And there's different cultural differences. You know, I come back and then I've got to get my pounds out of the other pocket to start paying in the UK because the UK didn't accept the euro. But the disease is still the same, right? It's the disease of debting. And all of us are linked, all of the people on the ERI, we are all linked through this malady, through this disease of debting or under-earning or being uncomfortable with money. And it's been an amazing thing watching it grow. We started off with a £100 seed fund from the UK Intergroup, and we put on a convention in the south of France in a church, and about 50 to 60 people came from as far as Australia who'd found out about it, and Turkey, all across Europe, the UK, France, Germany, and we just decided to form a European intergroup there and then. We were a bit scared about how we did it, but we just did it, and we got on with it. We then started meeting every 2 months on a telephone call, and gradually over time it's grown. We have a monthly call now, and we're now about, hopefully this year, going to have our fifth European convention. I ended up as chairman of the European intergroup for 2 years, and I stepped down in September, and it was a real gift to me. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my skill sets, and it was a great piece of service to do. Through that, I then I was asked to sit on the World Service Committee around a remote participation trial. I know the GSB are, you know, really working hard at expanding and the growth of DA worldwide. And I helped as best I could on that committee around being able to remotely participate at the World Service Conference last year. I'm actually going this year. I've been the European Intergroup, we have the money. We started off with 100 euros, and every year we've increased in funds. And the European Regional Intergroup, we have enough money to send me to World Service this year. So I'll be representing the European Regional Intergroup this year as the ISR. So, yeah, I mean, it's thinking about it, you know, a lot has happened in the 7 years that I've been in DA. And a lot has happened in terms of DA itself. I can see in terms of from a European context. We've now got a European trustee who sits on the board who's been amazingly, you know, really helping to, you know, share and work with the GSB around, you know, European debting needs, I guess, and around translations. The ERI now has about four committees. We've got a translation committee, a website committee, a convention committee, and I can't remember the last one, but a finance committee. How long do I have left? I feel like I've been talking a long time. And we have, four committees now on the European Regional Integrate, so it's really grown. Service has been a great part of my recovery. And getting to know all these people, both in the US and all across Europe, that's been an amazing experience. And we all work together. We've got the, German Intergroup, French Intergroup, the UK Intergroup, the Italian Intergroup. We've got Estonia, people from Switzerland and the Netherlands, and we all work together on this call every month, and we meet up every year. So that's been really great.
Any minutes?
Is that 3 minutes?
We're at 20 minutes, so you have five more.
20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. I think the hope. I'm going to talk about hope now. H for hope. H for hope and higher power, I guess. Financial stability, I think, has been one of the biggest gifts that I've had from DA. I haven't used any credit, as I said, for last time was in 2013. So it's coming up to, 7 years for a credit card. And it will be, 7 years in the summer for overdrafts. I haven't used them at all. I've just lived on the money that I've had. I also decided to have a little look in my tax returns just to see what's happened. And I'm really happy to say that since 2014, every year my salary has gone up by at least £2,000 to £3,000. And that's been because I have asked for pay rises. I've realized through my PRGs, through having a sponsor, through people in my own program who listen to me share, is that I have really improved my financial position. I moved out of my old flats, and I'm now living in a house with a garden, and things have just changed, gradually. Sometimes I don't even kind of sometimes. That's probably part of I don't give myself credit for what's happened. And when I look back, a lot has changed since being in DA. It's the best thing really that's happened to me in my life, I think, DA, in terms of my financial and spiritual life. It's really totally changed my life. As I said before, I've got a prudent reserve. I have a job, a permanent job. I have private healthcare, which is, we have universal healthcare here anyway in the UK, but I get private healthcare, and I get a bonus. I get pension contributions from my employer. It's just kind of, my life has changed in abundance. It's just more abundant. And I'm more aware of money as a resource and as an energy, that there's an energetic side to money. And also that God is in the numbers. If I keep my numbers, I don't always do it perfectly, I admit. But if I keep my numbers and I stick to the program, and I keep coming back, things just can only get better because they already have. So I'm really grateful to have been asked to do this chair. It's been really nice to be on this call. It's great, that we have the international committee, and, there's a lot of work going on around, DA overseas and all the stuff that's, buzzing away in the background at board level and everything. And I just hope it gets more and more. Obviously, I think, through all the DA fellows sticking together and working together, this disease knows no boundaries, right? It has no cultural or linguistic boundaries. It's just a disease. There's debtors everywhere. So I'm going to leave it there. And it's been really great. and I'm really looking forward to coming to the States, the World Service Conference. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thank you, Stuart, so much for sharing, and I do look forward to seeing you there at the World Service Conference as well. And Chris, our host, will now turn off the recording.